The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at RealTheUnderdog.
And welcome to another episode of Get Paid, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy, gambling, and daily fantasy. We are proud partners of Underdog Podcasts. You can also find us on Podcast One. You're listening, as usual, to Sean and Brad. Brad, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, buddy. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. So, last week I had a tough week gambling-wise. The New England Patriots, that whole situation with the guy flubbing the punt and then bouncing into the end zone and New England or New York covering it up. And then that stupid quarterback coming in and throwing a pick six at the end. I can just imagine everybody in Vegas, like being at the sports book, you know, half the casino is like, yeah, and then half is like, no. And then I was on the no side, but so it goes. But I was looking on Bovada Sportsbook, Brad, and we have a ton of good lines this week for us. I can't wait to dig into
sir.
It. Yeah, man. So do you have any comments about week three outside of that New England, New York stuff, or you just kind of want to get that bad juju off and start moving forward?
You know, I'd like to get the bad juju off. The past two, the first week of the year, I was like, damn, I had like five bets that I knew were just beautiful. Yeah. And ever since then, I haven't had one that I was really all that into. You know, I was just kind of
Yeah, I was going to say, I was really into the that Rams-Cleveland. I knew that was going to shake out last week. But you're right. I mean, the last 2 weeks,
yeah,
I actually felt pretty good. I was 70% in my big pick contest. I was 70% the first 2 weeks of the year, which I never do that well. Usually I get primed. Things start to go better in week four, which we're in now. And then once I get more home and away analytics in, like week seven-ish, week eight through about week 14, 15, that's when I'm on fire. At least that's been the trend the last 5 years. But
I will say this, Sean, the game I was most surprised by, to be honest, and this may sound foolish, is New Orleans going into Seattle. Mm. And I didn't, you know, exactly watch the entire game, but it seems like they went in there and just outplayed them in all phases.
So
like they weren't missing Drew Brees or something.
It was bizarre. So I do the Fantasy Football Fallout, which if you're by the way, you know, YouTube, we have a YouTube channel. If you like this show, we have a ton of extra fantasy football content that doesn't make this show. Just go to youtube.com/theunderdog. It's the Underdog Podcast channel, which I run. You see a lot of me, and we're starting to integrate a lot more of the underdog stuff. But I do a fantasy football fallout, Brad, where, you know, I watch every game, every play of every game. That's the whole premise of that fantasy football fallout stuff. But I also go back and look at the stats, and I feed the analytics and all that stuff. And I like to marry up my eyes with the analytics and all that. Well, I was looking at the stat line, Brad, and I couldn't believe that Seattle lost that game. And it wasn't like Seattle came on and you know, basically furiously rallied at the end of that game. I think they lost by 6 points or something. But you know, you look at the stat line: Russell Wilson over 400 yards, two rushing, two passing touchdowns. Tyler Lockett did well. The running game didn't really get going. But then you look at New Orleans' stat line. Bridgewater was under 200 yards passing. Kamara had an okay, but not... I mean, like, he had a really good game, but for Kamara's standards, not that great.
Michael Thomas. Okay.
And so, like, you know, they had the one punt return for a touchdown, New Orleans did. Seattle had a bad fumble. And New Orleans had a bad fumble later. That same guy, that same punt returner, flubbed a punt. And I just look at it, and the stat line, I'm just like, how did Seattle lose this game? It's the most, like, confounding thing, and I watched it, and it wasn't close. But if you look at the stat line, you're like, oh, yeah, Seattle probably won that game by 20. Yeah. If you just like, glossed over it. It was one of the most confusing games to watch and then marry up with stats.
You know, that happens. Sometimes that happens. You know, the box score doesn't always equal the result.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at you probably didn't catch the Pittsburgh-San Francisco game from this week, but San Francisco turned the ball over like four times in the first quarter. Almost like, I think Buffalo, New York Jets, Buffalo turned in week one, turned the ball over four times in the first quarter, and San Francisco and Buffalo both won those games. And like San Francisco, you're like, how did you not, they were on the doorstep the entire first half and just kept getting field goals. It was crazy. But, you know, we'll see. But let's move it on, man. Let's just dig into week two, or week four, I should say. It starts on Thursday night with a game that's near and dear to your heart. It is Philadelphia at Green Bay. Sorry, I don't have the line in front of me. I should. The line is
4.5.
I have +5 from Bovada.
Okay.
Yep. So what do you got, man? Who you got?
Ah, geez, you know, I don't want to jinx us by picking Philadelphia, but I think it's one of those games that Green Bay wins, but they do not cover. Mm. It's just the kind of the feeling I have. I think Philadelphia is better than what they've put out so far.
Yeah. I think Philadelphia is the best 1-2 team in the league, as I right. said in my fallout. The thing is, they lost the last two games. They were in both of them very late. And they haven't been playing either Alshon Jeffrey or DeSean Jackson. So when Nelson Agholor is your lead receiver, that leaves something to be desired. I like Green Bay's defense. Basically, for me, what it comes down to, and I always take Thursday games off my slate, as evidenced by last week when we both
picked
Tennessee.
They're so tricky.
Yeah, I mean, it really comes down to who's really banged up, who can recover quicker from that Sunday battle.
Yeah.
And I just never have a good feel for it, so I just take it off my board entirely. But, you know, if this were a Sunday game, let's just pretend it is, I would take Philadelphia if Alshon Jeffrey is back in the game. And I'll give you DeSean Jackson not being in, but Alshon Jeffrey has to be playing. If not, then I'll take Green Bay to cover that spread. But I'm with you. I think that I actually think that this is a game Philadelphia would win if they have their receivers back. Green Bay's offense, Aaron Jones is a little banged up. I know he has a shoulder thing going on. I don't know what to think about them, man. Give me your thoughts on Green Bay, because I know you watch them a lot closer than I do.
Yeah, it's it hasn't been great. It's been good in moments, but it doesn't have the feel of a well-oiled machine. It feels choppy with certain drives of brilliance. And then beyond that, it's just been their defense playing lights out and just getting the job done. So the offense still has a long way to go.
Yeah, and they commit to the run, which I like, but at the same time, Aaron Rodgers, at some point you're going to have to let this guy throw the ball, right? I mean, they haven't had to. They're 3-0, so you can't complain, and it's nice that they have a defense. It's nice that they have a run game, but again, you know, you look at these stat lines, you're like, they haven't hit their stride yet.
Not even close. And so is that a good or a bad thing? I don't know. A team goes 3-0, and they haven't played even close to good enough offensively. I mean, they had that first maybe two quarters. The first half against Minnesota, they were lights out, and then there was nothing after that.
Yeah.
And just Denver, they were just okay, you know. The defense forced a few turnovers, which gave them some short yardage, and there's your 27-16 victory. So,
yep.
So they leave something to be desired, and you know, the defense has been great, but I think this will be the best offense and quarterback they've gone against. Well, Minnesota's good. Minnesota's got a good offense.
Yeah, it's what concerns me is that I'm not convinced LaFleur is that good of a head coach.
Well, I'm not either.
Yeah.
But there's not enough sample size.
You're right. I almost feel like Mike Pettine is the best coach on that coaching staff, but we'll see. And
possibly.
You're right. There's not a good enough sample size. And the bottom line is Green Bay's 3-0. They're high on my list in terms of the power rankings, which I release early in the week now on Underdog TV. Once again, it's youtube.com/theunderdog. Green Bay's high on my list. They're undefeated. Their defense is playing good. I ranked them pretty high because I know that their offense can do better. I think Aaron Rodgers, if they get later in the season and they go on a slide, they lose two games in a row, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be like, okay, we're gonna pass the ball a little bit now.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're 3-0. And not only that includes two division wins. That's a big deal.
Sure. Absolutely.
All right. Fantasy football wise, Thursday, I'm always a little skittish on that. I do think that Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to throw the ball against Philadelphia. They have been giving up some yardage. Aaron Jones, if he plays, Jamal Williams, I think they actually score evenly regardless. If Aaron Jones doesn't play, I like Jamal Williams quite a bit, but I have them both at a 10. Not great against this strong Philadelphia rushing defense. I think Valdez Scantling does a lot better against Philadelphia than Davante Adams does. So if you're playing that Thursday mashup or something like that, Valdez Scantling is the one that I would pick. On Philadelphia, I don't love Wentz against this Green Bay defense, but I'm very curious to see how. You know, I think this is the best offense that Green Bay has played yet, so we'll see how that goes. Don't love either one of the running backs. Philadelphia, they did an uptick last week in productivity in the run game. They still have room to go. And again, if Alshon Jeffrey, if DeSean Jackson play, I like those receivers better than everybody other than Valdez Scantling, who I have actually projected at a 23. I think he'll do very well in the secondary coverage. If you want a full rundown, check out Underdog Underdog TV, youtube.com/underdog. All right, let's move it on, Brad. We have Carolina now. We're into the Sunday games. Carolina +4.5 at Houston. Who do you like?
Ooh, I like Houston for sure, man. And I know they're sitting Cam because of his fake toe injury or whatever he's got now.
It's Liz Franco.
Yeah, he's got the Liz Franco or whatever that is. I don't know. They're probably just benching him because they're tired of him and just want to keep him on there.
I know. Kyle Allen looked all right last week, I tell you
and
what.
He looked all right. So let's everybody slow down on this Kyle Allen character, okay? But I like the Texans. I don't know. Something about the Texans I like more than others maybe. So I'm going to take them to cover.
Yeah, I mean, the Texans are a super late field goal against a questionable coverage package, New Orleans, to open the season from being 3-0.
Right.
Again, they're a 2-point conversion missed attempt from Jacksonville from being 1-2. So, I mean, that's how close these things are. But I like them, Brad. I think the problem with Houston has been and continues to be the offensive line, Deshaun Watson, getting hurt. You know, hopefully he can stay up. I actually agree with you here. I'm going to take Houston -4.5. I've written down 26-20 Houston in that score. I like it. And we'll see how that game goes. From a fantasy football perspective, let's just kind of dig in there. I don't like Kyle Allen's prospects against Houston. I don't really like a lot outside of Christian McCaffrey. I do like Olsen as well. We predicted him to have an uptick. I think he will probably be the best of the players against Houston. But yeah, I mean, they're just Houston's going to be a tough matchup. And I think Kyle Allen will have tougher sledding against this Houston defense than he did last week against Arizona. Deshaun Watson, I think, has a nice game. I don't like the running backs in this matchup against Carolina, but I do like Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins. I don't like any of the tight ends. Don't believe what you saw last week with 3 touchdowns going to the tight ends. That hardly ever happens in Houston. So there you go. Let's move on to the next one, Brad. Very interesting one. One that I will have on my TVs because I like watching both teams play. Cleveland +7 at Baltimore, according to Bovada.
Ooh, hoo, hoo, hoo. Cleveland +7 at Baltimore. You got to go Baltimore here, baby, just to put a hammer on them.
I was very impressed by what Baltimore did to Kansas City. Dude, they played them tough. They tried to bully.
Can we say this? Maybe that's the best performance of the year in a loss, right? I mean,
yeah.
To go in there and keep up with them and bounce back and answer back, and even though they lost that game, that might be the performance of the year so far.
I bet on Kansas City to cover, and that was one of those situations.
I did as well.
Yeah, and we did too with our pick six.
Right.
We actually, you know, put some money down on that game, and I was feeling really good about that. Actually, to start on Sunday morning, dude, for 3.5 quarters, I was 3-0 in the morning. I was just like, yeah, I'm gonna vault up the rankings, and then the rug got pulled out from under me. Baltimore got that late cover, but dude, yeah, I mean, going for it on fourth down, roughing up Patrick Mahomes, which you have to try to do, but it didn't really affect him because every time he got the ball, he threw a touchdown.
Because the guy's nuts.
Oh my gosh, he's so good. Like, what do you do? And this is what we said last week. Like, what do you do? And Baltimore, I mean, shoot, if they got some of those 2-point conversions to go, that's a different game at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. So hats off to them. That Baltimore was, I think, number 5 in my power rankings for a lot of the season so far this year. I had moved them down, but they're still in my top 10. I mean, I think they're my favorite 2-1 team at this point. I think that they're clearly, in my opinion, the number 3 team in the AFC. I just think New England and Kansas City are cut above the other guys, which we saw and was confirmed. But holy smokes, man, they're really impressive. They can run the ball whenever they want to, right?
Yeah.
So if it weren't for Mahomes, and you could see that Baltimore wanted to control the clock and all that stuff, if it wasn't for Mahomes like throwing so many touchdowns so quickly, if Baltimore was able to just sit on the ball and run, I think they would have won that game. So at home in Baltimore or on a neutral field, you never really know. But you know, if they meet again, the likelihood is that they would have to play in Kansas City in the playoffs, so we'll see, man. But that was very good. I'm with you, Brad. I'm with Baltimore. I wrote down 30-19 in this score. I think Cleveland is starting to get better, but Baltimore's ability to run and assert their will. Lamar Jackson, by the way, if it was a drier game, Lamar Jackson's accuracy might have been better too, because there were opportunities that Lamar Jackson was hitting the first couple weeks, didn't hit against Kansas City. I like it, man. I like Baltimore. I'm a big fan of them this year. you know, you and I, Brad, are always a little bit higher on Baltimore than anybody else is in the betting community before the season, but they're playing really, really good. And dating back to last year, dude, I think they're about, what, like 9-2 in their last 11, something like that.
Right, something like that, absolutely.
They're a tough out, man. They're going to be they're going to be a nightmare to play in playoff time when the weather's bad and they can control the clock. Lamar Jackson, if he can stay healthy, can run.
I mean, from that standpoint, they might fare a little better than Kansas City because Kansas City has an aerial attack, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're so damn talented that the cold weather probably won't stop them, but it's not going to help them.
Yeah, I would not want to play this team. If I'm New England or Kansas City, I would not want to play this team in the second round of you know, of the playoffs. And you know, one of these teams is going to have to play that Baltimore team, man. It's going to be a rough shot. So awesome. I think you and I are both very impressed with what Baltimore's doing. From a fantasy football point of view, I don't really, because of this, I don't really love anybody outside of Odell Beckham. The one thing we have seen is that this Baltimore defense will give up passing yardage. I think Odell Beckham will score well. I'm not big into Jarvis Landry. I think Nick Chubb's going to have tough sledding against this team, even though they're going to feature him a little bit more than they have in other games. Baltimore, I like Lamar Jackson every week. I like Mark Ingram every week now. This rushing attack's for real. I like the tight ends. Mark Andrews, assuming he's healthy, I like him. And Marquise Brown, I actually like him as well. So I can't remember the last time, Brad, I liked as many offensive players from the Baltimore Ravens as I do this year. But they're fun to watch, man. I really do. Yeah. Even though it's just ground and pound, man, it's fun to watch them assert their will. All right, let's move it on. Next game, speaking of that Baltimore-Kansas City matchup, I have Kansas City -7 at Detroit, according to Bovada.
See, this is a little tricky, but, you know, not really. I mean, Detroit wins a game that they probably shouldn't have against Philadelphia, you know, and just leave it to them to have the biggest letdown of the season following an impressive performance, right?
You know your
Kansas
NFC
City
North.
By three. I do. Kansas City by three touchdowns.
That's funny you say that because I wrote down 40-20, so I have a I have a 20-point. I'm with you, man. I like Kansas City. I like Kansas City big this game. They're in a dome. They were playing in slop against, again, a team that I think is a top five team in the NFL in Baltimore. And they still did whatever they wanted to in the passing game. Their running game actually for Kansas City, I would say improved. They got a lot of their yardage late when they're trying to kind of kill clock and maintain you know, possession. The only problem is Damian Williams is banged up. He was out. LeSean McCoy got pulled later in the game because he was hurt. So they have this these other guys that are, you know, these young guys, these young bucks that are running, but I think they'll be just fine. Detroit, they don't have the team, I don't think, that can just score with Kansas City. That's another reason I like Baltimore in that Kansas City game, is because they're able to put up points. I don't think this Lions attack can put up points. You know, I thought that this team was going to do a little bit better in the passing game against Philadelphia than they did, although they won the game, so who cares, right? But I'm with you. I like Kansas City. From a fantasy point of view, I like every single Kansas City starter. No disrespect to Detroit's defense. He's actually, look, man, they're 2-0-1. You can't ignore that. They're undefeated to start the season. They should be 3-0, but, you know, que sera, sera. But yeah, I'm looking over this roster. There's not a single Chief on this roster that I wouldn't start this week, honestly. They're really, really good. Detroit, I think that Matt Stafford will have a nice game because they'll have to pass more. I think
of course he will.
Yeah, Kerryon Johnson, I think, will be more involved in the passing game because they'll need to pass more. Galladay, I think, will have a nice game from a fantasy point of view, as well as Hockenson.
Has any quarterback thrown for more than 400 yards in losses as much as Matt Stafford has?
Well, let's take a look at see what Kyler Murray does in Arizona, because he might catch him.
He might be that guy. Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, man. But yeah, Hockenson, I think, gets back in the end zone this week. Had a great first week, kind of pedestrian second and third weeks. I think he gets back in the end zone this week. And we did really well with our tight end projections last week. So they're usually pretty buttoned up by now. So daily fantasy, I like that buy. But yeah, I mean, Detroit's passing game, I like them, but I like Galladay and Hockenson more than anybody else. So let's move it on, Brad. Next one, we have Miami is on the board here. Always interesting to see what line they have. Well, Bovada, the Chargers are visiting Miami. Bovada has the game at -16.5 for the visiting Chargers. So Los Angeles, -16.5 at Miami. What do you think?
Oh my God, I don't think Miami's covered yet this year, and everyone thinks they're tanking. Do you think they're tanking, or they're just a bad football team?
One of my fantasy football fallout episodes, I addressed that very topic. Here's what I think is, It's the most bizarre thing, Brad, because you're right, they haven't covered, and they've been big spreads, and they've just been blown out every game. If you look at the first half, Miami was in control of that game, and Kenyon Drake comes down and fumbles the ball away, and I think they were either going to go up 13-10, or maybe they were going to go up 17-6. It was something like that. They were outplaying Dallas early, and the same was, they weren't outplaying New England in week three, but they were playing pretty well. Like, New England wasn't scoring a lot. And then the second half, the wheels come off. Yeah. So there's a couple things that I noticed. The wide receivers, like, offensive schematics, it's not bad. I don't think they're poorly coached on the offensive side. They have receivers that are pretty good running down the field. But the problem is, like, they just drop passes and they fumble. And the offensive line is like the Bad News Bears. It would be like me and you playing offensive line, Brad. Like, every play, there's either three defenders on top of the running back at the handoff or running, you know, Rosen or Fitzpatrick down. And the same is true on the opposite side for the defense. Is Dak Prescott, I've never seen a quarterback just stand there like a statue for seconds. I mean, he's just like, they could have run out the clock in the first quarter if him just sitting in the pocket. In the pocket. He's not even running back and forth, dude. Like, they can't get any pressure. So when the offensive and the defensive lines are that heavily overmatched week to week, you know, you're not going to win games.
I'm taking Miami to cover. Come on, boys. Here we go.
They're due, and they were surprisingly close to covering that New England game and surprisingly close to covering this Dallas game, but the wheels come off, like, with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and they end up giving away. Like, they gave up, like a long touchdown run to Tony Pollard at the end of that game to push them into cover. And that's what gambling is, you know. They're going to cover soon. They're not as bad as the scores indicate. They really aren't, but they need to fix that offensive and defensive line. Yeah, man, I don't know. It's funny. So that 16.5, I wrote down 30-13, so I'm right on that line. I guess I'll take the Chargers coming off a loss. I don't know, man. That's too big. To me, this is a pull off the board. Don't bet. But if I have to pick, I'll go the other way. I'll take the Chargers. And I forgot, so you took Kansas City, you took Baltimore, and you took Houston. So we've actually agreed on everything else except for that Philly game, and we're on the opposite sides here, but I don't think you would actually put money on the Dolphins.
No, not at all. I would not touch this game.
From a fantasy point of view, I think Rivers has a huge bounce-back game. I think Eckler has a huge bounce-back game, and I think that Keenan Allen does fantastic as well. For the Miami Dolphins, I don't like anybody on this roster. If you are looking for a daily fantasy budget play, Preston Williams, look for him. He's a huge receiver. He had a lot of balls, Brad, bounce off his face mask, so he was open, and you know, you gotta put your hands up and catch the ball. This Miami, it's the Bad News Bears. Rosen, I don't know why they're even playing Rosen at this point, but Rosen's just like looking around. He's either running for his life or putting a dime on one of his receivers. And he's being
well, the team's bad, so why not get the experience? I mean, why not? You know,
other than just not wanting to crush his confidence, but we'll see.
Okay.
Yep. All right, Brad, and let's move it now. We have New England is -7.5 visiting division foe Buffalo.
Is interesting.
Very interesting. 2-3-0 teams. 2-3-0 teams. Yeah, I do like Buffalo. They've cracked my top 10, my power rankings this week. Check that out on Underdog TV on YouTube. What do you think, man? 7.5.
Well, all right. So from a betting standpoint, that half point is going to make me choose Buffalo.
Buffalo.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's silly. It's so silly to do.
No, you're right. You're right. If you look at the analytics, you're absolutely right. That 3-3.5, that 7-7.5 makes a big difference.
It does. And that's the way I'm going to lean. You know, Buffalo's at home, and you know, home team underdog division play is a very successful bet.
Mm-hmm.
Is my nose growing as I say it? You know, like,
hey man, you took the points with New England, Miami. But then we both bet New England, and we laid the points against the Jets last week. Although that was the right bet. You know, it was the right bet.
I do. All right, but here's the thing about New England is they could control the entire game and still win by 7.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like a different. They could be up 7 and Buffalo not even really be close to them, if that makes any sense at all.
It was kind of, I don't want to say it was that extreme, but I felt that way about that Baltimore-Kansas City game. Like, Kansas City was in control of that game. you know, about the second to third quarter, and then Baltimore came in and got that cover. It's that same thing, man.
Because New England could be up 13, and Buffalo could have the ball with 6 minutes left and driving, but even still, it doesn't even really matter if they score late, because New England's got it, and you just know they got it, right?
Yeah, right.
It's a different feel to it. So from that standpoint, I will take Buffalo based on that little derivative.
Yeah, Buffalo's defense, you can't overlook them, man. They're really good. McDermott's been in this division long enough. He knows the score in New England. I'm going to take New England. I wrote down 27-13 as my score here. I just think it's going to be tough. I think that Josh Allen is going to turn the ball over against New England.
Well, yes, I would have to say he will do that.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And
you're right, that half point, man. I don't know that I would put this in like my favorite bets of the week.
Now, if it's 6.5 New England, I'm taking New England all day.
Yeah, right.
So that's basically where I'm coming from.
So I think by the time we do our pick six show, what ends up happening is like the sharp people come in and put their money on, and they've loved Buffalo all season. I bet you that this line moves to 6.5. And if it moves to 6.5, I'm with you.
I bet it does move that way.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. I would say you're right on that.
Yeah, that 7.5 to me is like, stay off the action there. But when it moves to even 7, you know, I start thinking about it because I don't mind a push. 6.5, I like it a little bit more. So, if you're one of the gamblers that likes to bet both sides, I'd say put your money on New England early, because I think the line is more likely to move towards Buffalo.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll have to keep track of what Bovada does later in that. But, yeah, let me get to the fantasy analytics here. Brady, I think this is actually going to be a tougher game for New England. I don't think they're going to put up 30 points like I mentioned before. The one guy I like is Philip Dorsett. He seems an under-the-radar guy. I like him more as a daily fantasy play. When Antonio Brown, that week one game against Pittsburgh, he found the end zone. Antonio Brown came back in the second week. Philip Dorsett was kind of, I think, the odd man out there. Now Brown's gone, and he got in the end zone again this last week. I like him in this offense. He's doing pretty well. On the Buffalo side, New England's defense is just so good. I'm looking things over right now. The only guy I think I would even think about playing is Frank Gore. I think they're going to be throttled defensively. I think that's why I think Buffalo gets 13 points. I like Buffalo, but like I said when we were talking Kansas City and Baltimore, I just think New England and Kansas City at this point are a cut above the other guys. I like Buffalo. I think Buffalo has a great chance to make the playoffs this year, especially with this 3-0 start, and we'll see where it goes. All right, Brad, next game I have Oakland, according to Bovada, +7 at Indianapolis.
I kind of like Indianapolis to take this one nice and easy. I think they're due for an easy cover. What do you think?
I have this as a push. I do think Indianapolis wins this game comfortably. I saw Oakland, they played with great energy the first 2 weeks. Then they played Minnesota at Minnesota, came out flat.
Yeah.
I like Indianapolis, but, T.Y. Hilton's banged up. Funchess is already on the IR. I do think that they'll be able to run the ball with Mac against this defense. I think Indianapolis wins. Will they cover? Let me leave that up to whether or not T.Y. Hilton is active, because if they have to go with a heavy dose of running the ball and throwing to their tight ends, their two talented tight ends there, I don't know that they can score enough to really cover. So I like Indy in the game as a pick 'em. I like them comfortably as a pick 'em, but that spread, that 7 points is a lot. With T.Y. out, if he is out. Which I'm assuming he pulled himself in the second quarter with a quad. I don't know if it's a pull or a strain, but that's one of those injuries that like you can't really run your routes as a receiver if you don't have a quad. Analytics wise, Derek Carr, I like Josh Jacobs this week. I like Darren Waller every week. I think Waller finally gets in the end zone against this Indianapolis Colts team. I like Brissett to throw for a good amount of touchdowns. I like Marlon Mack to be ridden quite a bit. If T.Y. Hilton plays, I think he'll do well. If he doesn't, look for a guy like Paris Campbell to step in for him. And then Ebron, I think, has a good chance to get in the end zone too, because there's only limited targets there in Indianapolis. All right, Brad, next game, we have Tennessee, according to Bovada, +4 at Atlanta.
Man, I got to tell you, Atlanta just one of my least favorite teams to bet and try to get my, to get a pulse on.
Yeah.
And I think that Tennessee, you know, and I'm going to take them to cover. I think they're going to go in there. Tennessee is just the type of team to go on the road and just give someone a really hard time. You know, they do that fairly easily. So I'm going to take them to cover.
I'm going to take Atlanta for a couple reasons. One, they're at home.
Yeah.
Two, okay. Mariota, can he put up the points to hang with an Atlanta team who, in spite of Matt Ryan's just recent love of throwing interceptions and bad interceptions in the red zone, I do think that they're going to put up some points. I wrote down 26-19. I think Atlanta covers barely. I'm not betting it. I don't suggest you bet it at all. But I do. I am going to take Atlanta in this game. You know, it's that's a tough spread. I'm with you, man. Like Atlanta. Here's the thing: is Tennessee limits the run game very well, but Atlanta never runs the ball, and so I think Atlanta is still going to be able to execute the game plan that they want to execute. And I just don't think Mariota can keep up with the score. But we'll see, man. I like Tennessee coming off a loss and having that extra time to game plan. I don't feel good about it, so I'm taking it off my board. And I don't disagree with anything you said, Brad. Fantasy-wise, I like Matt Ryan more than I like Mariota this week. I have Matt Ryan at a 21. That's a pretty decent score for Daily Fantasy, too, especially with Matt Ryan's value, I think, coming down a little bit in recent weeks. I think Derrick Henry is by far the best running back in this game. I think he'll score well against Atlanta. This is a chance, okay, for one of these receivers to finally get in the end zone, but more likely Delanie Walker gets in. For Atlanta, I think Julio has a big day, and I like Calvin Ridley and Austin Hooper. I think Austin Hooper gets in the end zone again. Moving it on, Brad, next game, Washington is +3 according to Bovada at the New York Giants.
Phew. You know, I actually took the Bears last night, and that was an easy win for me. You know what? I think the Giants are going to ride their momentum, man. I think they can cover this one.
So
they're excited. They're excited, and they're motivated about their new guy. I don't think they're necessarily better, you know, at least not at this point. But I think just having that new person at the helm gives them a little bit more juice. So they're going to play better is yep. all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm looking at my analytics here, and I'm with you. I have this as kind of a push, but if I had to go one way or another, it would be New York. Daniel Jones, his ability to extend plays with his legs is a different dynamic. Washington never does well with that. They're never a fast defense. They usually draft defensive linemen and make them linebackers there.
Yeah, yeah.
Josh Norris there, the cornerback, I think is is a solid cornerback, but that off coverage, that secondary coverage package, they've been giving up huge game. Taylor Gabriel shredded them last night. I think that this is going to be a big game for not Sterling Shepard, but somebody like a Slayton or somebody like I don't think Golden Tate's back yet from his suspension, but maybe like a Russell Shepard, maybe an Evan Ingram is probably going to pop off. I like the Giants. I do think that they're the more likely candidates to spread. I do think both quarterbacks will score well. If you're into daily fantasy, Case Keenum, I think, is going to be a nice bargain buy. I like Daniel Jones as well. I don't like the running backs for Washington. If you had to pick one, be Chris Thompson. I like Tyler McLaurin every single week now. He finds the end zone. I think he's been in the end zone all 3 weeks for Washington. I think that will continue. For the Giants, the loss of Saquon Barkley really hurts, but this team is going to be able to pass on Washington. I would assume Gallman will get the snaps there. And like I said, I think that secondary receiver is the one the more likely to go off. So I like Slayton as an under-the-radar, super, super under-the-radar daily fantasy buy. And Evan Ingram will have a very nice game, find the end zone as well, I think. All right, Brad, a few games left here. We have Seattle, the next one. Seattle's visiting Arizona. Bovada has Seattle -5. What do you think?
I think Seattle. I really like this bet, actually.
Yeah, me too.
I do. I like Seattle to come back. If I would have had to guess this line, I would have thought it would be Seattle by 6.5 or 7. Which leads me to believe that maybe Vegas has missed this one, at least according to me. But I like Russell Wilson to bounce back. I like him to out Kyler Murray, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
show
yeah.
him what's what and the deal and all that. So that's where I'm going.
Yeah, I like Seattle as well. We agree on that. I wrote down 36-26. I do think Arizona will score some points. I think Russell Wilson will out Kyler Murray, that's very well said, I think. I have Russell Wilson at a 35. I think he goes off in this game. Look, I know Seattle traditionally hasn't played well on the road or as well as they did at home, but coming off a loss I think they will be charged up and ready to go against a team that they're just better than at this point from a talent point of view. I don't know what's going on with Chris Carson. I think he's like, you know, maybe he's putting too much butter on his arms before the game. He's eating a lot of corn on the cob. He's fumbling way too much. It's crazy. I don't know what's going to happen there with the running back situation. Pay close attention. He's put the ball on the carpet a lot in the last couple weeks. It's a bummer. I like DK Metcalf to get a possible red zone, a possible score, I should say. I like Will Disley, his chemistry with Russell Wilson, and I like the ability for Tyler Lockett, that chemistry that he has. Arizona, I like their offense, man. I think David Johnson has a little bit of a bounce back week. I like Murray. I like Christian Kirk. I like Larry Fitzgerald this week to do well, but they're going to be behind. I think they're going to throw a lot. I like them in daily fantasy. I like them in fantasy. I don't like them against Seattle. I'm picking Seattle against the spread. Brad, next game we have Tampa Bay plus 10 at the Rams.
I think I got to go with the Rams on this one. I think they win by 20 points against Tampa. Feeling the groove, getting the groove, being dominant.
I am taking Tampa in this
one. Right.
10 points, man. It's a lot of points. The Rams, to me, they need to run the ball more. Even McVay came out this week and said, I need to run the ball more. I need to get the ball in Gurley's hands more. You know, all the talk about, like, is this a running back by committee approach? That's all dead and gone. Gurley is dominating the carries, but the Rams just aren't really, you know, running the ball. McVay seems a little rusty, maybe a little Super Bowl hangover.
He does seem a little rusty.
Yeah.
The whole team seems a little rusty.
Well, I mean, they didn't play in the preseason, you know? Like, it matters. You have to play a little in the preseason. So
I guess you do, man. And I think we found that out more than any year this year we've seen that.
Yeah, maybe two games for the starters. They got to play a little bit, but I understand it. And they're 3-0, shaking the rust off, right? They're like the Packers. They haven't hit full stride yet. And when you're 3-0 and you hadn't hit full stride, that's a good thing. You know, you want to peak later in the season, not early.
Yeah, but unlike the Packers, they've had the same coaching staff now. It's not some new regime with new players. It's the same machine.
I don't think defenses have figured out McVay. I think they'll get it figured out. I just think they're a little rusty and they'll be fine. I wrote down, I think this is a comfortable Rams victory. I wrote down 35-26. Tampa Bay can score points. I wouldn't bet on this one. This one's a little too close. You know, Tampa Bay plus 10 there, according to Bovada, it would be 36-35 if you add that 10 in. That's too close for me. I'm not going to bet against the Rams in Los Angeles where they're comfortable. When McVay already knows that he's not doing so well, I think they'll be ready to play. I do think I like the offense in this game. I think Jameis Winston, outside of that, I don't think he's going to have a great game, but I think Peyton Barber does a little bit better this week than Ronald Jones does. I think that I think that Evans and Godwin have nice games for the Rams. Oh, and I also think that O.J. Howard, this might be a candidate week for O.J. Howard to get in the end zone there. He's been having a tough first couple of games. The Rams, I like Goff to have an okay game. I think Gurley's going to do a little bit better. I like all the receivers this week, as I do every week. And this is a game where, like, a guy like Everett or Higbee get into the end zone. So if you're looking for a daily fantasy budget play, those would be good candidates. The Los Angeles Rams tight end. Brad, moving on, we got four left. Jacksonville, according to Bovada, plus 3 at Denver.
I think it's time for Denver to pull one out, man.
Yeah?
I think they're a decent team. There's nothing wrong with Denver. Yeah, I think they're pulling out at home against a Jacksonville team that doesn't seem to be enjoying themselves. That new quarterback, though, seems pretty popular.
Gardner Minshew, man.
Yeah.
I like that guy.
That's fun.
I'm gonna have a video about him on the YouTube channel this week, 3-point stance, why I love Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, he was cool. He's got a way about him. He's likable.
Yeah, you know? He is. He looks likable, yeah.
But I like Denver to cover on this one.
You know, I think Jacksonville's the better team. I think I've been saying that Denver's due for a win all 3 weeks of the season. I'm going to take Jacksonville in this game. I think they win outright. I have 19-10. The reason is Denver's identity. They're settling into their identity. Their defense is getting a little better. And the last couple of weeks, they've been trying to attack defenses with screen passes. You know, they'll have like Philip Lindsay or Royce Freeman go out and passes. That kind of plays into the defense's hands here, with respect to Jacksonville specifically. I think they're going to be ready for that. And if they limit the effectiveness of a Lindsay and a Freeman, then what do you have if you're Jacksonville? I'm not really sure. I'm sorry, if you're Denver, and I'm not really sure Flacco can beat Jacksonville over the top. Now, a lot of this depends on whether or not Jalen Ramsey gets suspended too. Assuming Ramsey plays at the end of the week, I'm going to take the Jaguars to cover there. This is not a game I like for fantasy football purposes. I do think Leonard Fournette has a bounce back game. I like DJ Chark for Jacksonville every week. I'm down on Gardner Minshew this week from a fantasy point of view. On the Broncos side, I know I just said that Jacksonville's probably going to shut down Lindsey, but I do think he'll still score okay at a 12. And I like Emmanuel Sanders to bounce back this week, but I don't like anybody else there. Moving it on, Brad, three games left. We have Minnesota, +3 according to Bovada, at Chicago, divisional matchup. Who do you like?
Oh, wow. Oddly enough, I think Minnesota's a better team, but I like Chicago in this one.
Really? Why do you say that?
I just feel like I have a beat on like the NFC North, you know, and how they've been and where they're going. And I think that Chicago, I think they pull together and they rally and they play their tightest game of the year. Like, I think they just look buttoned up and they play well enough to win. And then the wheels will come off on their season. Mark my words.
So, you know, Chicago took care of business, handled Washington in Washington. And that doesn't really impress me because a lot of teams are handling Washington this year. I wrote down Minnesota 20, Chicago 17, but I believe you. I take your opinion very seriously when it comes to the NFC North.
Thank you.
Only when it comes to the NFC North. But no. I think Minnesota, here's your argument too. I think Chicago has a great running defense. They can shut down Dalvin Cook. Then Kirk Cousins is going to have to beat you on a game that's probably nationally televised.
And this is a big game for Cousins, right?
This is a big game. And Cousins is famously awful in big games.
Yeah.
I'm going to come around. I'm going to agree with you. I'm not going to bet it. I'm going to take it off my board. But I agree with you in Chicago. I'm going to change my pick. You have convinced me, Brad. Analytics, I think Dalvin Cook is a weekly play, even against this defense. He's going to get catches. He's going to get some attempts on the ground. I think Alexander Mattison is going to get plenty of attempts. I do think it's going to be a close game because I don't like Chicago's offense. And you would think that Laquon Treadwell, who was just recently re-signed by the team. Adam Thielen, I think, will have an okay game. But, you know, this is going to be kind of a punching match, I think. I don't like any, I'm looking over the analytics, I don't like any of the Chicago Bears this week against this Minnesota defense. This has all of the makings of a 16-17 type game, doesn't it, Brad?
Yes, it does, absolutely.
Yeah, so 100%. It's going to be a bruise game, I don't love it. Let's move it on, Brad. We're on to Sunday Night Football now, two games left. Dallas is -3, according to Bovada, at New Orleans.
Oh, man, what a great matchup.
Mm-hmm.
I like Dallas in this one, to be honest. I think they're strong and they're really well rounded, and I think New Orleans misses Drew Brees in this game, to be honest.
Yeah, Dallas's defense is really good. I think they waltzed in against Miami and were overconfident, and they got things together in the second half.
Yeah,
I think that Dallas's defense can. I don't think they're going to put a lid on Alvin Kamara, but I think they'll limit him a little bit. I don't think that Dallas is going to hand the game away here. I think their special teams is a little bit better. I think Dallas is just a better team. For me, they're my third best team in the NFL right now. We'll see, man. I mean, New Orleans came into Seattle. We didn't think that they would win, so they certainly have a puncher's chance here, even with Bridgewater. I suspect that we're going to see a little bit more Taysom Hill just to try to keep that insanely fast defense in Dallas on their heels. But I like Dallas. I wrote down 30-23. I like what this team is doing. I like them to go in on the road in a hostile environment on Sunday night and handle their business. Dak Prescott, I think, will have a nice game. Ezekiel Elliott, he's a weekly play. I have him having a down game for Elliott, but still a nice game for a running back. He's just not somebody I would invest daily fantasy money in. Amari Cooper, I think, has a really, really nice game. I'm not sure if I haven't looked at the injury report this week yet. I'm not sure if Gallup is going to be back. If he's not, I like Devin Smith. If he is, I like Gallup and the receivers here. And Witten, I think this year is a weekly play as well. He's always getting red zone targets. Dak likes him. I think the quarterback, whether it's Bridgewater or Taysom Hill, it's going to be Bridgewater, though, is going to have a tough game. Kamara is a weekly play. I still think he gets a 20, even though Dallas is going to be focused on stopping him. I don't love Michael Thomas in this matchup. He's playing against a good cornerback. And, you know, New Orleans, I don't know, man. What I did, I anticipated Jared Cook to be used a little bit more just to open some things up for Teddy Bridgewater last week. They didn't do that. I would hope that Jared Cook will be used a little bit more. He's a touchdown candidate for me this week, but I wouldn't bet on that. So daily fantasy-wise, he's a candidate. I don't feel as good about that as, say, like Austin Hooper in Atlanta getting in the end zone. All right, Brad, Monday Night Football, last game of the week. We have Cincinnati +4, according to Bovada, at Pittsburgh.
Ooh, man, some of these are so tricky, dude.
Yeah, I know.
I think the wheels are coming off of Pittsburgh's regime. I'm gonna take Cincinnati, man.
I think Cincinnati's ready for an upset, man. Like Andy Dalton, you know, like he's not a Super Bowl winning quarterback, but he's not bad. Like he'll be okay. Mixon, I think, finally will get some good yardage this week. I like Tyler Boyd in this matchup. I like John Ross in this matchup. I like the tight end, which would, for my money, is going to be Tyler Eifert. Pittsburgh, I don't like. Here's what's pissing me off, Brad. Here's what's pissing me off. Mason Rudolph, okay? He's your backup quarterback, right? They're still going five wide. And just like having Mason Rudolph run it like he's Big Ben. There's something to be said about, you know, having a quarterback execute their system. And there's also something like, I don't know, Bill Belichick, the greatest head coach of all time, that understands who you have in your personnel. They're not running the ball. You have James Conner, man. He's pretty freaking good. They're not running the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think this offensive coordinator is going to be fired at the end of the season. Five wide. I hate five wide to begin with. If Big Ben's running five wide, if Tom Brady's running five wide, if Drew Brees is running five wide, I'm okay with it. But Mason Rudolph, I'm not okay with that, dude. Mm. I'm not. So I think this is an upset candidate. I think that Cincinnati wins this game outright. I think they're ready. I think they played pretty well against Buffalo, almost stole that game. If they can just get that running game going, I think this offense is good enough to hang with them. And Pittsburgh, man, four turnovers in the first half. The defense is playing well, and they're like first and goal, and they couldn't punch it in because Mason Rudolph's going five wide. Run the ball.
Yep.
Run the ball. It's not complicated, for crying out loud.
Take it easy.
All right. You're right. Voice of reason for once, right, Brad?
All right. Bring it back in.
All right. I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be flying back at that Monday Night Football game, but we will be watching that Dallas-New Orleans game, won't we, buddy,
together? Oh, absolutely, yeah. That'll be fantastic.
I am coming in this weekend. Brad and I are going to be taking in the games on Sunday in person.
Yep.
We aren't going to be live streamers because we're not streamers. We're doers, right? Yeah, man, I think that's an episode. You got anything else for the people out there?
I got nothing to say.
Yeah, I got nothing to say. We got so the pick six will be out later this week. Brad and I will figure out what our six favorite bets are. Brad, work on some teasers. I'll work on the daily fantasy sleepers there. So keep an eye out for that, especially on YouTube. Once again, it's youtube.com/theunderdog. We could use your subscription. The more we grow, the more we can help you. Help us help you. Everybody out there, go out, make some bets, get paid.